I was like crying in act one, like getting emotional. I'm like, am I okay? Like, what's wrong with me?
Plant information. Never thought that you would need it, but here you are with a whole musical about.
If this is what your heart is after, go for it, and the work will come, and you'll make the work.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to Off to Broadway, the podcast where we deep dive into anything and everything musical theater from the comfort of my car. I'm Tara.
I'm Stefania.
And in today's episode, we have a very special guest. Fresh off the world premiere of the new Canadian musical Grow, it's Jenny Weiss. Hi, Jenny.
Hi. Thank you guys so much for having me.
Thanks for being here. For everyone listening, Jenny and I go way back. We went to high school together. We were in choir. We were in student council. And then my favorite memories is when we were in Glee Club together.
Such good times. I definitely forgot about some of that. And Tara, did you know that we're like second or third or fourth cousins or something?
Yes, I did know this, but I don't remember the relation.
No idea, but we are somehow. So there you go.
I was telling Steph yesterday about our Glee Club adventures and how I vividly remember singing Keep Holding On for my audition. And I also remember you and Jacqueline giving me a solo in Halo Walking on Sunshine. And Steph was like, did you guys only sing Glee cover songs? Did you guys sing any other songs? And I was like, I don't think we did.
No originality. No,
we literally just sang Glee covers of covers. And we didn't have, like, I don't think we had sheet music, or we definitely stole it something or made it up.
Oh, yeah. Times. We were like ripping karaoke tracks off of YouTube. It was great. And I'm pretty sure it lasted for 1 year and 1 year only. And we performed, I think, one time publicly.
I think there were two. I think there might have been two.
I only remember Don't Stop Believing. That's the only one that I remember.
I remember that at like the band night or something. But I think we did some little performances during the day.
I'm sure.
You blocked them out.
Okay. Yeah, exactly.
I don't blame you.
Yeah, it was a long time ago.
That's every time Tara talks about the Glee Club, I laugh. I don't know why, it's so funny to me.
I think we got to dig up some of those videos.
Hold up. If you're successful, Tara's going to insert
well,
a clip
and I'll
right
insert
now.
It. Yeah. Should we talk about Grow?
I think so. So you just finished this run. How are you feeling?
Well, I got to tell you, I'm pretty sad. It was such a short run and we waited, 2 years since we were canceled the first time. And then we were postponed again, just a couple weeks. But because of that, our run got shortened. So it was just so, bittersweet because we've all been dying to do this show. And I found out like a year probably before that I was cast in it. So I've known over 3 years. And I've wanted to be a part of the show for like 7 years. So it's just been such a long time coming to do, just a 2 week, not even run. We were having the best time ever doing the show. And then now I definitely already miss it, but I'm just, fingers crossed that something happens again with it. Who knows who will get to be a part of it if it does, but I definitely am like thrilled that it went so well and so sad that it's over. Mm-hmm.
Like, let's jump all the way back to the beginning. How did you first get involved with Grow?
Yeah, so I don't exactly remember the full details of how this happened, so I could be kind of making this up, but something along the lines of the lyricist, Akiba Romer Siegel, and the songwriter, Colleen Dauncey, posted on Facebook, hey, we need two singer girls to come and sing a song. We're pitching our musical to Michael Rubinoff at Sheridan for the Canadian Music Theatre Project. I think that's what happened. Or they asked me. I don't remember. But myself and a lovely singer named Marin Sigson said, hey, we'll do it. So I think we went to their apartment. We learned Old Dirt Road, which is like the first twin song in the show, and a bit of a scene, I think. And then we went to like the Second City. They have a little room in the basement of Second City, and we performed it for Michael Rubinoff. This was 8 years ago.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And I was like, this is amazing. I want to be a part of whatever this is. I knew Akiva and Colleen. I did not know Matt Murray, who's the amazing book writer. He's incredible. And we just sort of sang it for them. I think originally I sang the other twin, and then they switched us because it was clearly wrong. And that was it. And we were like, this is going to go to Sheridan. This is going to get workshopped. And I think it's now been workshopped 2 or 3 times there, which I never even got to see. And then it went to Goodspeed in the States, which is another place to workshop it. And then I got to see it when it was at the Next Stage Festival, which is that the one that you guys saw?
We saw the Canadian Music Theatre Project in 2019. Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah.
So I separated from the show for a long time, and I was out of town, so I couldn't audition for Next Stage, and I was so sad. And then I was lucky enough to get to audition pretty much a year in 2019, and found out shortly after that I would get to be a part of it, which was super exciting. And I worked at the time, I was working at Man Casting, which is a commercial casting place, with Izad, who plays Samuel, who I'm sure you guys
know. Nice.
Found out like at the same time, we're like, oh my god, we get to work on this show. And then a week or two before, it was March 2020, I was visiting my dad, who winters in Florida, and getting ready to like go to Grow, but I, you know, hadn't seen my dad in 6 months or something, so I went to see him, and I got off the plane and woke up the next morning and got a text from Izad being like, Grow's gonna, it's canceled.
Yeah. Like,
what? And we, myself, Arenia, who played Hannah, the twin, were texting like, we'll be postponed a week, two maybe. Mm. Maybe it'll just be a longer rehearsal. And then we get the message, your show is canceled. And we were one of the first theater companies in Canada to be canceled, but they knew that, you know, this was not going to go away quickly. Mm-hmm. And then 2 years later, we found out we were happening again. And I don't think I like let myself get like too excited because I just thought I was going to keep getting canceled. But
yeah,
somehow it happens. That's my giant story.
I mean, even when we saw you in Niagara Shaw Fest December, and even at that point, I feel like it was still kind of unknown what the start date would be.
It was very fingers crossed.
Omicron had just started. Like, we weren't sure what was going on with the theater industry. So finally made its way on stage. And like, so happy, obviously, that it did for everyone involved. And then so happy that we could get out to actually see it.
Yeah, we were so lucky. I mean, theater is getting shut down left, right, and center. We were just unbelievably lucky that it happened, and it went smoothly. So yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So like we said, we were lucky enough to have our first taste of Grow B when we attended that CMTP presentation in fall of 2019, and we were like, this is perfect, we're gonna see it in the spring, we're gonna get to see it. But it's been super interesting to see something from the development stage and then to kind of see it in the finished form and see what's been cut, what's been changed. There was a song that we loved in that development form, and that was not, it was not there.
Which one? You know it.
It was called 21st Century Woman, but we're not confident that that's what it was called.
We were looking forward, we were ready for it, and then it wasn't there. It wasn't there.
I've heard that that's such a good song. That's so funny.
It's funny because, you know, you see a workshop of something and there's no recording, there's like nothing out there. And so you hear a song one time and it's funny what like latches into your brain. And so for 2+ years, me and Tara singing to each other every day, like, you are
a 21st century woman.
So funny. I definitely heard that that's an amazing song, but it apparently just didn't serve
the
story that it needed to.
Absolutely.
So they changed it to Bliss, which is
a
great song. I love it. And it serves the story.
Yeah, we knew what the moment was, but So what is, you know, developing a musical, this is its first like full production. What is it like to kind of be in that development process for a new musical?
I mean, first of all, I'll just say like, it's just such a cool experience and it's so rare, you know, it happens just so much more in the States. And I think, you know, if you're just lucky to be a part of a new Canadian musical, that what like people don't realize is it just takes so long. Mm-hmm. And so even in rehearsals, even up until like previews, we were getting line changes. So we were like, which line? Oh my gosh. And half the time you wouldn't get to rehearse them. So you mm-hmm. would just be saying the line for the first time on stage type of thing. There were so many cuts and changes and all that kind of stuff because the writers, you know, were going to hopefully get to see this in 2020, but so much has changed also in the world. Like, absolutely. When you guys saw the show, weed was legal in Canada, right?
It yes. wasn't just.
Yeah. Okay.
So and it's something that we discussed after, yeah.
Yeah, so they totally changed that, which you guys obviously know. And
but even still, I was saying to Steph even yesterday, like since 2019 when we first saw it to 2022, there is now dispensaries on every corner in Toronto. That was not a thing in 2019. So this feels 100%. More timely than ever.
Yeah, 100%. And thankfully, like the changes worked so well. And like, especially in Canada, you're right. There's a dispensary as many, like as much as Tim Hortons.
So yes, 100%.
It's so topical, which is hilarious. But yeah, I think it's just really cool because we got to talk to the writers. So I would go up to Matt and be like, Matt, what does this mean? What is Ruth thinking in this moment? And like, you know, and he'd be like, oh, this is it. And I would say, okay, he was so open to us and so giving. And, you know, Colleen would be like, let's change the key. I think it will fit better with Jenny's voice type of thing. And just that you don't get to do that when you're doing Oklahoma, you know?
Yeah.
So it was really, really cool. And I just can't thank the incredible writers enough for just wanting to dive in and be willing to talk like, hey, this doesn't feel right. You know, this sentence is confusing. Why is she saying this? Why is this happening? And they were so amazing to listen and give us what we needed to make the show make sense and work. And it's we're just so lucky to get to work with them. It's really cool.
So you said that the first time you ever sang something from Grow was like 8 years ago. What was it like to revisit that material 8 years later?
I mean, wild. Not that like I fully remember, but I do remember certain things. I think like I had a verse in that song that I no longer have in this version. I mean, it's definitely more interesting for Irenia, who plays Hannah, because she was in the next stage version. And in that show, weed wasn't legal. The show was set in Buffalo. So it was in the
wow.
So I don't know how that compared to what you guys saw.
It was set in Toronto when we saw it as
okay.
well. Yeah.
And like in Act Two, her character was like kidnapped.
Okay.
weed by like oh. kind of an evil.
Oh, we lost you. We lost you. You're back.
Sorry.
She was getting kidnapped is where we
okay.
lost you.
Okay.
You left so us hanging on a very dramatic plot point.
That's so funny. So Irina's character was getting kidnapped in Act Two by pretending to be me to grow the weed for like an evil drug dealer. I'm butchering this. But
fine.
I mean, I remember her getting the script in 2020 and being like so excited about this new version and like so happy with Alexis, the new dispensary owner character, who's actually based off of now a real incredible Black. She grows weed. She has
entrepreneur.
She's amazing, and like she's been a consultant on the show. Oh, so
nice.
There's just the show has just grown so much. but. Like Irenia would be like, oh, I remember that lyric all the time. She'd be like, oh, it used to be this. And sometimes like her mind would go to the old version and stuff like that. Yeah. So it's definitely exciting to see how far it's come.
But now you're finally back in front of an audience. Was this the first time performing in front of an audience since the before time, since before the pandemic? Like, what was it like to finally be back in front of an audience? And then what new did you learn about the material once you had an audience in front of you guys?
Yeah, that's such a good point. It was my first, and I think the majority of us, I would say like 99% of us, hadn't done anything the whole pandemic. So it's definitely nerve-wracking, and it happened really fast. Like, because there were just so many changes, and it was such a short process, and there were some like setbacks and things like that. So all of a sudden we had an audience, and we hadn't had anybody. Usually you have like, you know, some friends or some people in the building come and see like some rehearsals throughout. We really didn't have that. And I mean, my track relies on so much comedy. EZAD's track relies on that. So I think once we realized, hey, it's amazing. It is what we had hoped. And like, it is funny and it is smart and touching. We took like this just massive breath of relief, because we just didn't know. And the writers too, you know, to get like good reviews and to get the same applause after every day, like standing ovations. And I was lucky to have a line which every single day was stopped for applause. Same with EZAD. Like, that never happens. You don't get to experience that kind of pure joy. So it was just such a wonderful feeling to know it's working. And you could just tell the writers were just so happy that after 8 years, it's like, we're doing something right.
Yeah, like release your thought process, like your baby into the world, and people applaud it and love it. That must be crazy. I couldn't even imagine having that for so many years.
Like, speaking as an audience member, you know, because we knew a little bit about it. So going in, I don't know, you know, knowing where the story was going, it still like caught me off guard. I was like crying in act one, like getting emotional. I'm like, am I okay? Like, what's wrong with me? But like, it really did like impact the audience, and like everyone around us was feeling it. So like, it really, really worked. It was really wonderful.
I'm so glad. Crying in act one. What happened?
I'm an easy mark. I gotta be honest.
I said everything.
I'm an easy mark, but it was Grow. Grow was the moment that made me cry in act one. That song like really got, it's a beautiful song.
I mean, we love that song. That was one of the songs when we first heard it. Again, as you were saying, Steph, it's so strange when you hear a song literally one time. There is not a recording. Thankfully, there are, like, there's you guys singing Grow on YouTube. There's all of you in your, like, virtual boxes. I think it was, like, a year ago released. So we were like, oh, my God, this exists. We get to hear it. And then Wherever You Go, I Will Go was another one that stuck out to us immediately. And to think, again, like, hearing a song once, and we've been humming it for the last 3 years... incredible. Before we talk more about the music, you obviously play Ruth in this show, but are you more like Ruth or like Hannah?
Good question. Can I say an equal mix?
Yeah. Like,
I definitely have some weird quirks like Ruth, but I probably like also have that straight-laced edge of Hannah and like perfectionism and that kind of stuff. You know,
you have a green thumb. Are you growing stuff all the time?
I mean, in the pandemic, I did grow some vegetables.
Okay.
But not so much. I never home. So every time I get a plant, I have to give it away or it dies in my home. It's very
sad. You're not singing to it every night, is what you're saying.
Definitely not. But it is an actual fact that, like, people do play music for their plants. And I believe the person, I don't know if I'm supposed to say their name, but the person who Alexis's character is based off of does play music for
a plant. Oh, wow.
Isn't that wild?
Fascinating.
That's crazy.
I mean, plants are living things, so it kind of makes sense.
Yeah, and they do this thing she taught us that it's called praying. When your plants are happy, the weed is like facing up. I'm being genuine here.
No, I believe you. It's just surprising.
I know. They like the plants like like sunflowers to the sun. I
sure
have no idea how it works.
Well, there was when you guys were saying in the show about Scores weed dying and how there was like male and female, or that was the issue. I've heard that before, yeah. That it happens all the time, like the male and female plants. So interesting, like
yeah.
Plant information. Never thought that you would need it, but here you are with a whole musical about it.
Exactly. And it's true. And I would look up, like, I talk about these things, that these like crystals. I was like, plants don't have crystals. They totally do. It's totally real. Weed has these things called trichome crystals. They're obviously much smaller. You can't really see them unless you're under a microscope, essentially. But I was like, I thought they were making this up. It's real.
Yeah, it's true. Okay, let's talk music. So obviously you said working with Colleen and Akiva, you've worked with them for 8 years. And we've been lucky to see like a couple projects now with their name attached to it. But I'm wondering, is there a favorite song in Grow that you get to sing every night?
I mean, Grow is just the best. Grow is just so beautiful and sweet. I'm with you guys on that. Wherever You Go is also the best. And I get to sing so many fun things in that show. I loved singing little bits of New Sensation where like the like kind of deeper pop came out. And one I choose was Scary, this like beautiful belty number. But once we got like comfortable with it, I did love scrouting it out.
The moment that was like show stopping in the show was when you guys do sing Wherever You Go. Everybody, first of all, we've never been to the Grand Theater, so it was fun to be there. But the stage, like the lighting on the stage, everybody's singing together. You guys sounded amazing. It was just like, I know that's the second time you cried, Steph. It was very emotional.
I love that.
Yeah.
Wherever You Go, it's just an anthem. It's just everybody leaves singing it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You can't not feel moved when like this giant community comes together and like sing something so beautiful.
So this run of Grow is over, and I know you said you don't know where it's going next, but do you have any hints of where you think it could be going? Anyone like whispering to you?
I wish. I mean, that kind of stuff is just so secretive, especially because none of us are guaranteed to be a part of it again,
right.
Sadly. So they could take it to a whole new cast and a whole new direction and, you know, please don't. Please keep it. but whatever, you know, whatever is best for the show, of course. I mean, the hope is obviously is Mervish would be amazing to pick it up and just wonderful, like provincial regional theaters. I think it would do so well in Montreal. I think it would do so well in Calgary and Edmonton theater centers that I've had the privilege of being at before. You know, you can just tell like, oh, Grow would make a killing there. They would love it. You'll know when I
we'll be keeping an eye out for sure. Let's go back in time to the beginning of the pandemic. As we said, we saw you in December at Shawfest, and it was opening night of A Christmas Carol starring your husband, Peter Fernandez. And we are just interested because, you know, you're both in the industry, and the beginning of the pandemic obviously was stressful time for everybody, but we as theater fans and lovers immediately were like, the arts, like what happens with the arts and all of the actors, and just what was that time like for you guys?
Well, that's so sweet of you to care and to realize. Yeah, I mean, we definitely obviously weren't the only industry affected, but ours definitely stopped. And yeah. We were incredibly lucky. I mean, I had two shows lined up. So I had Grow, which was canceled. And then shortly after, I found out that my next gig was canceled, which I'm about to do in 3 weeks. So both shows
amazing.
Great. But basically everyone I knew lost their jobs, every single person I knew. And a lot of those people have kids, and, you know, both the husband, like the, both of the parents lost their jobs. So it was definitely incredibly difficult, and incredibly, it's just, you know, scary, especially as time went on, like when is this going to come back? And it's still a mess. But we were, I will say, of the lucky ones, because Peter was set to be at Shaw. Shaw, I think, was the only company in like North America that had pandemic insurance.
Wow.
So they had experienced like a series of kind of crazy understudy situations the previous year. And wow. So they got like this insurance that would cover all of these big disasters from like sickness or injury or something like that.
Right.
I'm butchering this, mm-hmm. but they were able to cover the companies. They kept everybody on. So wow. We lived in Irina Lake. We didn't have to live in our tiny little one bedroom in Toronto, which was a blessing. We had a backyard, like that's madness. And you know, we still just like distanced from everybody, and they did stuff online. They did like Zoom cabarets, and they kept us afloat. And I went on to serve and like taught online for most of the pandemic. But yeah, I think just everybody did whatever they could. A lot of us moved to online teaching. I taught like English. I taught singing and acting like a lot online. And Peter was really, really lucky to stay afloat through Shaw. And last summer, they did a full season at Shaw. We just didn't think right. it would happen, but they made it happen. A lot of it, his shows were outdoors. So again, we got to live in Niagara Lake and get by. But, you know, that is what, 60, 70 actors in Canada.
Right. So
it's pretty insane. And I think we're just incredibly lucky and grateful, but it's hard. And moving forward, I know a lot of people have left the industry. Don't get me wrong. That was mm-hmm. on my brain, because you don't have a choice. So we'll just kind of see what happens in the next little bit. Mm-hmm. A lot of companies are hiring understudies now, mm-hmm. where they, in Canadian theater, it really wasn't a thing. You pretty much went on with your sprained ankle, with your fever, which I've done both.
Oh my God. Imagine going on stage with a fever in this climate. I can't imagine.
Now you can't, because I did Into the Woods with a fever, 100%. Mm-hmm. And I did Mamma Mia with two torn ligaments in my ankle. Like, there's just things
you can
do because we don't have understudies, and I was the understudy. Yeah. We're just so accustomed to it. And then now you can't come in with a cold. Like, you just right. can't. Mm-hmm. It's just a new time. So, like, we hired an understudy mid-run of Grow. Shaw has been hiring more understudies. Stratford's all of a sudden hiring more understudies because COVID is making its way through the companies. Mm-hmm. They're realizing one swing for all the female and one swing for all the men just isn't enough.
It's right. less expensive to have an understudy than to cancel a show and refund everyone's tickets. So
absolutely.
The things that, and this is probably, this is a good, like, you know, we didn't want COVID, but it's a good change to the industries to make sure people aren't going on injured or sick or when they can't.
100%.
I mean, I remember, I can't remember how many years ago it was, but I messaged you because I saw you in Annie, Young People's Theater, when you did that. And I remember messaging you being like, I'm coming. I just want to make sure that you're on. And you're like, I don't have an understudy. I'm on every day. I have Annie every day.
Yes, that is very true. And I can tell you, people were sick in that. We had stomach flus. I've been on stage with buckets on stage for people. Like,
oh, no.
And at like big professional theaters, you know. But understudies are heroes. I truly believe so. And it's such a hard job. So the climate is wild right now. It's just, who knows what's going to keep happening. And I am though grateful that something is happening, that we're back to work for sure.
It's been so exciting even for us to like trickle back in and to like start getting to see things again. We like started in December and then we stopped. And then now we're, you know, this summer it's looking like we're going to get to go to Shaw, go to Stratford again, go to see Grow, see what's playing here in Toronto. Like it looks like theater really is becoming more and more back this year. So it's very exciting for audience members as well.
Agreed.
Speaking sort of on what you're just saying of how you moved to online with teaching and things, we've been super lucky to interview past Sheridan alum over the course of this podcast, you included. And I was saying to Steph, and I've been saying to Steph over the course of the pandemic, is that I feel like a lot of kids are not going into this industry anymore because of COVID, and they're afraid, you know, of job security is one thing, but because of the pandemic. So as someone that has gone through that program, what would you say is, what's some advice that you would give for anybody that is like thinking of joining or auditioning for Sheridan's theater program?
I mean, Sheridan was an incredible experience and definitely made me the performer that I am today. I had no idea what I was, you know, getting into. So if this is something that you love, and I, you know, people would always say this to me, is there anything else, anything else that makes you happy? Anything. If not, you can do this. and you know, everybody's different. But Sheridan is just such an unbelievable school. It has changed so, so, so much. But I really do credit it for so much of my success and my training. And if this is what your heart is after, go for it. And the work will come and you'll make the work. Mm-hmm. It's hard. It will be hard. And it's harder now because you have, you know, just everybody is itching to work. Everybody is available. It's hard. But the work is there. It's coming back and, you know, go for it.
So moving, like, still with Sheridan, we want to talk a little bit about Come From Away. Can we talk a little bit about Come From Away?
Of course.
So listeners of the podcast may or may not know, but worldwide, what Sheridan is most known for is being home of the very first workshop and production of Come From Away. Listeners of the podcast also might know that we're huge fans of Come From Away. Can you tell us what your experience was like being a part of that beginning development of what has become like a worldwide phenomenon?
Oh my gosh. Again, just so fortunate, just so wildly, absurdly lucky to be, to have been in that room, to have been there, like crossing out pages, to know all the original songs that were cut when it was a 2-act show that we did. And
wow, we didn't even know that.
A 2-act show.
I was a fish.
Oh, okay.
Like the cod.
Oh,
like
the cod that they kissed. The cod that they kissed.
They held me horizontal and I went like this. And I kissed.
Why was this cut?
Yeah, I know. Well,
bring that for back.
Health reasons.
Yeah, for health reasons. Imagine kissing the cod now, as an, like, kissing an actor now like that. It would be great.
Oh, no, definitely not. I mean, definitely not. But it was incredible. You just, you know, just like Grow, you just know that you're a part of something so special. And being in the room with like those incredible writers, you just absolutely are like, this is going to take over the world, as it should. And it did. And it's coming back. It's just been announced that it's coming back, which is so exciting. And the wonderful Sasha Dennis, who plays Hannah in Come From Way Up, or who played Hannah in Come From Way Up, Mirvish, was our assistant director on Grow.
Oh, nice.
She was incredible to work with. And I played Hannah at Sheridan in Come From Way. So it was like I was very miscast as a child in this role, mother of a firefighter. But anyway, small world. But it's just such a gorgeous show, and it's turned into just the biggest, most deserving success. So,
mm-hmm. What was it like working with Sankoff and Hine?
Again, just like so sweet and funny, and Brian Hill directed, who's incredible and so smart and just ingenious. You know, you can just tell you're in the presence of pure, utter geniuses. They're just so intelligent and smart and quick. All of a sudden, you'd be handed a new song daily and totally new changes and new characters and all of these things. And so a lot of it has stayed, surprisingly, just been refined. But they're just really the kindest people. Only kind people can write that show. You know,
yeah,
Canadians, you know, that's the
true Canadians. Yeah,
that's kind of what we're going to ask. Like, you've seen it since, obviously, like what's something that was there from the like very beginning that you did? And then what's something that like maybe is the biggest change that you noticed?
Oh, my gosh. Something that I have always loved is the plane scene. A lot of that is still there. And I remember like being one of the angry people on the plane, being like, get me off of this plane. And like getting drunk on the plane. That was all there. And the beginning was a little bit different, but the music, the like, you are here, the start, that used to start the show. I used to sing that at the top of the show. Something that's changed.
There's no human cod anymore.
There's no. A lot of the like party scene has changed.
Really?
Like they do those like fun dances with each other and stuff. I think that's different. But that beautiful song "Stop the World," that's exactly the same. That was in it. And "Welcome to the Rock," and a lot of it is the bones are still were there, but
yeah. One of the most emotional theater experiences, I mean, I've ever had. I'm sure you too, Steph. Steph and I went to the reopening night of Come From Away, December 2021,
something like that. I don't
know. And then it was literally on for 4 days, and then it shut down again. And at that time, shut down for good. But we know it's coming back in 2024. And they hit "Welcome to the Rock." And immediate standing ovation. We were crying. The cast was crying. It was wild. But it was so nice to like be in a room with people and like supporting this Canadian musical. We had said when COVID happened, like the first thing we want to see is Come From Away, because it's just that feel good show. It makes you so proud to be Canadian, I feel.
100%. I heard about that. My sister and my mom were there, and I'm so jealous.
Oh, really?
And they were just like, it was electric.
It was crazy.
Yeah.
Amazing. Switching gears now, we did a little digging on your resume and saw that you worked as an assistant director for Rose at Soulpepper, as well as Gravenhurst Opera House and Summerworks. What's it like working on the other side?
That's so funny. Yeah, I do love it. I do love it. And I think it's definitely something that like I dabble in pursuing, but I'm always way too nervous to take it on fully. But it's just different every experience. Sometimes you just get to sit and watch. Sometimes I've been lucky enough to like be in on the audition process, and that is such a game changer as an artist, because when someone comes in that is so relaxed and maybe doesn't even fully know what they're doing, but they're open about it, you go, hey, I need to bring that to my audition. That's the attitude that I want. This like calm, cool, conversational person is the person that's going to get hired.
Yeah.
So definitely like lucky in that aspect, but it is, you learn so much. You just learn so much being on the other side of the room. You go, oh, that's what they were trying to tell me and I didn't get it. Or like, oh, that's how this should be. And I can see that in my brain and bring that to what I'm doing, you know. It's
right.
Same as like being a casting on working in casting. You get to watch all these people audition and you go, hey, that's what I should be doing. That's what's gonna get me hired. And you can understand why they went with the person, and for so many reasons, it's not talent, it is simply what you look like and the fit and the role and the chemistry. And anyway, you just learn so much being on the other side. Mm-hmm.
Is it something that you would want to continue to do in the future?
I mean, if you'd asked me like a couple years ago, maybe, but I don't know. I think we'll see.
TBD. We'll check on that later. We have a game for you. It's something that we play with all of our guests, and it is a lightning round. This is personality test drive. Okay, so we are going to ask you a series of questions. You have no time to think about it. Give us really quick answers. Are you ready?
I guess.
Okay, the question we always start with, what cast recording would you listen to on a road trip?
Ooh, the new Godspell Broadway recording.
Great choice. It's a good one.
Okay, we've talked about Glee on this podcast today. What is your favorite cover from Glee?
Oh my gosh. I mean, the original Don't Stop Believing. They're like, okay,
a classic.
Favorite show that you've never seen?
Oh, that's so hard. Ah! Oh my gosh. I feel like I've seen so many things. Oh man, help. Okay, what about, I'm just going to say like Natasha Pierre. And the Great Comet, but it sounds amazing.
Us neither. That was another devastating cancellation because that was supposed to play Toronto.
Yes, you're right.
And a devastating cancellation. Right. Okay, if you were to a songwriter, what is the song that you wish you wrote?
Oh, wow. Anything Sondheim. Like anything from Company, like Being Alive. From Company.
Yes.
Right.
I feel like we all wish that we wrote Being Alive from Company. Character you've played that's most like you.
Oh gosh. Little Red. I don't know. Ruth.
Okay. So if you, we've heard a rumor that you're a big RuPaul's Drag Race fan. If you were on Drag Race, what song would you lip sync for your life to?
Oh my gosh, best question. I mean, probably like I Want to Dance with Somebody.
Yeah. We were trying to figure this out yesterday of what our lip sync for your life song would be. And I said, Steph, literally anything Whitney, like what else would it be?
I said Queen of the Night. That would be like the moment.
Amazing. Or like Spice Girls. Spice Girls would just
amazing. Be amazing.
Yes. That would be fun. Great choice. Special skill on your resume.
Oh God. Oh, that's like when you ask me hobbies. I'm like, theater. Y'all honors me. Oh, I literally have nothing. I lie about okay. all of them. I don't know.
You know, we've seen G2. We've seen Passport. I feel like it's really
Passport. Extended. I'll give you the Passport. Give you the passport. I'll give you the failed G2. I'll give you the can barely ride a bike.
Yeah. Oh, I love can barely ride a bike. That's great.
Yeah. You would be authentic if they had to not ride a bike. Okay. What is your guilty pleasure musical?
I mean, Rent. It's just so good. Spring Awakening. It's not guilty. They're amazing.
Favorite costume you've ever worn?
Ooh.
Little Red was pretty incredible. I had a full, like, dead wolf head as a wig. And, like, I got, like, a real corset and everything and, like, a real beautiful velvet cape. It was pretty awesome.
Love that.
Yeah.
Okay, what movie would you turn into a musical?
Ooh. Oh, God, hard one again. I mean, did we go, like, classic? Like, I feel like The Notebook already is going to become a movie. I would have done Mean Girls, and it already is.
It already happened.
So
we are planning to see The Notebook, the musical, in Chicago. Like, we've been talking about this for years. It is just something that needs to happen.
Amazing.
That's so awesome. I feel like you can take that because it's, like, on its way.
Great.
What is the next thing you would like to collaborate with your husband on?
Oh, anything. Hire us together. We've never worked together. The only thing that we've been
together. You guys did an Intact commercial because I've seen it on the TV every single day.
That is true. We did do a commercial together. I'll give you those 2 days. And we did technically do Rose. He was in Rose and I was in
Right.
But we've never gotten to, we've always wanted to do, like, Charlie Brown together.
Oh, cute.
Or Seussical. That's, like, a big one for us.
That's so fun.
Those are great. Yeah.
Okay. I'm very specific about this. So I want to know, where is your favorite spot to sit in a theater?
Oh, wow. Definitely not too close. Like, maybe middle back orchestra or aisle.
Oh, an aisle.
I kind of like an aisle of the middle section. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm.
I love an aisle too, but I also love a front orchestra.
Spot.
I love to be, like, in the show, but Steph is a back orchestra.
Back orchestra. I picked the tickets when we saw Grow and I was like,
this middle back orchestra,
like, dead center.
I usually, like, know people in the show. So I'm always like,
you don't want them to see your face.
Yeah. And finally, what is your dream role?
Oh my gosh. Too many. I've, like, already said, Seussical. I just want to be Gertrude. I just want to be, like, cliche Glinda. and, like, cliche Sally Brown, you know, just cast me in all of those fun. Oh, no, I lied. Olive and Spelling Bee, even though I'll probably be the other one.
I love that.
Logan or whatever her name is. But
lots of children I'm seeing here. Lots of children.
I'm very typecast, but I'll take it. They're fun.
It's true. Yeah, it's true. Very fun.
Very true.
When we asked you to come on here, we told you that we do a segment in our podcast called Obsession of the Week. So it is now time for our Obsession of the Week. We will start with Steph, then we'll go to you, then we'll go to me, so you can kind of, like, see how it goes. So, Steph, what's your obsession this week?
Okay. So my obsession, one of my favorite podcasts, is a podcast called Las Culturistas, and it is their 300th episode this week. It came out actually today we're recording, and they're doing something called the 300 Songs of the Great Global Songbook. So they picked 300 songs that they believe should be in the Great Global Songbook, and it's a comedy podcast, so it's funny, it's silly, but they have wonderful taste. Some theater songs on there, they put Satisfied on there, they put Seasons of Love on there, but, you know, they've also got Tattoo by Jordan Sparks. It's really a range of songs, and I can't recommend this podcast enough. It's so much fun to listen to, and I believe they're gonna put a playlist on Spotify of all the songs that they put in the Global Songbook, so I recommend listening to that playlist and listening to the podcast because it's an absolute blast.
Love it. Okay, Jenny, what's your obsession this week?
I mean, I always have, like, music on when I'm walking or something, and I can't get over Waitress. I just can't get over that soundtrack. I live for Sara Bareilles, and I love when she sings it too, even though Jessie Mueller is life. It's just so beautiful. And I saw it when it came to Toronto. It's just so good. I love a musical.
I was saying to Steph, I just recently rewatched, Sara Bareilles did, like, I want to say it was for Yahoo, like a live stream of all of the Waitress songs before the musical opened, and agree, I love both albums, but there's something about Sarah singing those songs that you're just like, Mm-hmm. I love it so much. Yeah.
That first album is fun too, because it's like a peek into the development process, because it's not everything made it, or some lyrics are changed, or song titles are changed. It's a great mm-hmm. album.
Mm-hmm. Okay. My obsession this week is literally an obsession that just happened maybe 3 hours ago. As of day of release last week, the Spring Awakening documentary was just released on HBO. It's called Those You've Known. And I will say, if you are like getting ready while watching this documentary, don't, because you're going to cry like I did as I was getting ready watching this documentary. But Steph, I know you'll love it, because obviously Spring Awakening is everything to you. But it was so interesting watching the original cast go back in time and revisit all of that music, revisit all of those songs, and to see them in the rehearsal rooms, sitting there singing, or watching Lea Michele sing Mama Who Bore Me, and them just like weeping. It is such a good watch. I think it is so, so well done. So it is streaming on HBO. Everyone should watch it. If you're not even a fan of Spring Awakening, I think it's a really good watch to like get an inside look at the theater industry and how shows transfer, which is kind of interesting. Also a conversation we've had this entire podcast basically about shows transferring. So that is my obsession this week. And before we go, what's happening next for you? You said you have a show in 3 weeks, so tell us all about it.
Yeah, I'm super excited. I'm heading to the Thousand Islands Playhouse in Gananoque, which is like this beautiful little town.
Wow.
And I'm doing a British farce called Perfect Wedding, directed by the wonderful Krista Jackson. It's super fun. I play like a very saucy London maid, and I cannot wait. And then I have a little something after that, but it's not technically announced, but I'll let you know.
We'll have to wait.
Yeah. Well, where can we follow you to keep updated and see what you're up to next?
Probably Instagram or Facebook. I'm really bad at that stuff. But I'll post. I'll post on Insta. I will. Jen Weiss 08. Super cool name.
Amazing. And if you want to listen to any of our other episodes, you can subscribe to our podcast wherever you listen to podcasts. And if you are watching us here on YouTube, don't forget to subscribe.
And you can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Off2BOAPodcast. That's the number 2.
And thank you so much, Jenny, for joining us. It was so nice to talk to you. And again, we are so thrilled that we actually got to see Grow after 3 years of not nonstop talking about it. So it was so great.
Thank you guys so much for having me. It's been an absolute pleasure.
And next week, you guys can listen to our recap on the Tony nominations. So we will see you guys next time.